Welcome to your Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for St. John WA. Safe 000 for emergencies.
Now, we've all felt the pain of going to the supermarket lately. Mm. You know, food prices are through the roof. And in these days of high prices and environmental concerns, and we see the hunger around the world, it's so important not to waste our precious food.
So eat it. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it.
Now, at the start of the pandemic, I was one of those sort of preppers who made a huge, giant tub of sort of lentils and pulses and things to take with me in case I had to bunker down for a year and a half or whatever.
Just live on lentils and beans.
Just live on lentils. But it's funny the place that one can store food. And I went in to kiss my beautiful wife, T, when I got home after yesterday's show, which is interesting because you guys didn't notice it. And as I went in to kiss my beautiful wife, she did that thing only inches away from her face where she went, "Oh, what's that?"
Oh, pulled away.
Pulled away. And within my beard, which is not at its full biker length, but it's getting there, we found a single green pea. Now, the interesting thing is that the last time we'd had peas was the previous day's lunch.
Now, so I've been 24 hours.
Yeah, and I want to make this very clear. I'm despite the fact that I'm an old hippie, I'm not a grub. I did shower in that time as well.
So just not really doing a thorough clean of the beard.
No, and I do even shampoo my beard every now and then, but I clearly didn't that day. But there, hidden within the undergrowth, was a green pea.
I think the most surprising thing for me is that you touch your beard so many times in a day that I can't believe that the pea had not fallen out or been previously dislodged.
I think that's part of the problem, is that it had ended up in a kind of like a tangled fishing net web.
Well, I find it extraordinary because looking at your beard now, and as you mentioned, I mean, you know.
It was sort of here.
Right, okay, so tucked away under the chin area. Yeah, yeah. And a pea, you know, green in amongst what you've got going on there, it would stand out.
Yeah, it looked like it was sort of half a pea, but yeah. it was a pea. Where are the other places on your body that you've discovered food? I'm genuinely... Because there it was. It was, you know, perfectly ready to go.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it.
I don't know if I've found food on my body anywhere else.
My cousin had dreadlocks
for
a long time.
Yes.
Long time. And the day that he cut them off, they found a couple of pasta noodles in amongst them.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm not joking.
That's what I'm talking about. Maybe you've gone, "Oh, what's that lump? Oh, no, it's a piece of toffee that's stuck to my ass crack."
Wow. I'm curious. Wow, the phones are lighting up.
Yeah,
people have
gotta
got
say,
food in places that there shouldn't have been food.
I didn't. There was a part of me that didn't expect anyone to call.
Oh, hi, Sindel.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. Where did you find some food, Sindel?
Well, when you're breastfeeding, obviously you like to snack on cookies, and when you're finished and you do up your bra, you kind of don't know till the end of the day when you have to shower and it falls out.
Oh. All the crumbs.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It's just, you're like, oh, when you're breastfeeding, of course you do. Cookies and milk. That's what it's all about. We're just chowing down.
Tanika, hello.
Oh, hi.
What you got?
My 18-month-old son likes to stash things in his mouth. And I'm talking about for days. Like, it doesn't matter if he has 100 meals, he will still find things to stash. There is a sign at daycare and everything to say to check his mouth before he gets put to bed.
My God, like a magician hides a key or something in
I
their mouth.
I love that you thought that. My first thought was drug mule.
So what sort of stuff, Tanika?
My sister collected him at 4:30 a couple of weeks ago. And he gave her a bit of ham out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And so she's gone, oh, like, when did they have ham? Thinking, you know, it was like afternoon tea, which is like 3 o'clock. No, they had ham at like 11 o'clock that morning.
It was
and he was
Christmas.
Just holding on to it.
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
That is incredible.
Well done.
I feel like you threw this out there just to get Tanika's call.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that absolutely. Was great.
Hi, Jackie.
Hello.
Jackie, where did you find food on your body?
In my 6-year-old daughter's belly button.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, good
what was
storage
that delight?
Area. Mm.
A bit of chicken.
A bit of chicken in the belly button.
That's so funny when there's chicken in their body part. Love it.
That is amazing. Are we talking a drumstick or a wing or what, Jackie?
No, just a bit from a chicken noodle stir fry.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Gourmet belly button food. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. Recycled phone numbers, right? I'd like to hear from people about something specific that's happened to a friend of mine, which I've never seen before. But he tweeted a screenshot of his phone, a text message exchange. Mm. And he's been getting text messages from somebody that he doesn't know who they are. Now, his comment is, I changed my number a couple of weeks ago, and now some kid's mum keeps texting me. So what has happened? And after digging a little bit into this, is that when people go for brand new numbers these days, there is every chance that it might be a recycled phone number.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
From a long time ago.
They don't know that? They can't, when they generate the numbers, they don't know that it's been used before?
Oh, yeah, they're fine with it, though.
Oh, okay.
Because it doesn't matter.
No.
They think it doesn't matter.
So the text message exchange it's from Wednesday last week, and it goes, he's received a text message saying, please call before you start. And then he's gone back and says, I think you have the wrong number. I'm not starting anywhere. And then he's received another text going, oh, sorry. And then a day following after that, he's received another text from the same number going, please come home by 2 p.m. and study.
And wow.
And he sent a message
pretty
back
serious
going,
rules.
Going, wrong number, mate. And then a message come back and going, I'm so sorry. My son's name is also Taron. Now, his name's not Taron.
Okay.
Anyway, will not repeat. And he's gone, you might want to delete this phone number. I'm a 30-year-old man.
Uh-huh.
So what has happened here is that he's gotten a recycled phone number.
Yeah.
And whoever had that phone number, their mum is sending them text messages still.
And you know, the great thing is that Taron is out there going, it's cool how mum leaves me alone. She hasn't asked me to come home or study for ages.
You know, though, there's really no good that can come from a recycled phone number because you've been able to port your number to any provider for well over a decade or two, right?
Yeah.
So the only reason people would be getting rid of their phone numbers would be because you've got people trying to call you that you don't want to hear
okay,
from.
Okay, sure.
Or people that you need to get away from.
Yeah.
Or people. So most of the time, I'm thinking not a pleasant reason that you need to change your number and tell all the people in your life you've changed your number. It's a bit of a pain.
It is.
So the person that you're going to be receiving messages from on the other end might be less desirable than you would have thought.
Well, it's funny that you say that because when we were sort of tossing this around yesterday, somebody else in the office who we were talking to about it said that they copped a recycled phone number and were getting messages from a drug dealer at one point.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so...
Now we sorted that out, eh?
Want to hear about the exchanges you got if you got a recycled phone number? Ethan in Lake Coogee, good morning. So did you cop a recycled phone number?
Good morning, all. Yeah, my partner did. His grandfather died about a year ago, and all of a sudden they were getting contacted in WhatsApp by their grandfather's number.
Right.
Oh, bizarre.
And it went into the family chat, so the whole family saw it at once.
Okay.
Oh.
Wow, that must have been creepy for a moment, given that the grandfather had passed away at the time.
I think it took them probably 2 days to really sort themselves out afterwards, because it was really confronting.
Yeah. Also, slipping into someone's WhatsApp, feels really invasive and weird.
It was next level, really, if you think about it.
And was the subject matter pretty innocent, or was that even part of the part that made it shocking?
Well, they were trying to strike up a conversation as if they knew us already.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, that is,
okay. Almost like you get the scammers that text through.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Wow.
That's dark. That's uncomfortable.
Ethan. Yeah. Lynn in Kalamunda, good morning to you. Recycled phone number?
Yeah, it was about the 90s. I got a new phone and with a number, and I kept getting messages. It's probably from a child. It seemed like a child, and just saying, "Mummy, come home. We love you."
Oh no!
I know, and it was it's just heart wrenching. And I messaged back and I said, "I'm sorry, I'm not your mum." And they said, "Oh, mummy, yes, you are. We love you. Come home." And I was, "Oh my God."
Oh no. You're like, yeah. If I made this worse, I was trying to just make it clear this was the wrong number, but.
I know. It was really sad because I thought, well, somebody's out there, you know.
Yeah. Looking, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, how goodness. Devastating.
Oh, thank you. Oh, jeez. <That's laughs> Two really terrible ones so far.
Are there not plenty more numbers? Why have we got? Why do we need to recycle numbers? Let's give everyone fresh numbers, guys.
Yeah, that was my initial point. I mean, the how many numbers are in a mobile number? 9?
Yeah.
The computations 10. Must be enormous.
I suppose, you know, it's the same reason we ended up putting 9s or 6s at the front of the Perth local numbers, because you just run out.
Yeah, right.
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
What happened with your mum and dad?
They got the first number they got, because my mum was sick, it was for a brothel.
Oh, now that's better, Jill. This is what we were after.
So they were getting some interesting calls then?
Yeah, day and night. All hours of the day and night.
Well, did they have any fun with it, or did they just go every time, "No, sorry, no longer open for business"?
I think my mum just said, "No, sorry." Then they rung up Telstra and asked for a new number.
Yeah. That's about all you can do, really, isn't it?
Or take out shares. Yeah, in the company.
Pete, you've been telling me this morning you love budget.
I love budgets.
You're a budget dude.
I'm a numbers man.
I am not at all.
I've
but
noticed.
I can tell you how I follow the budget and how I know we're in for hard times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because according to the former Federal Reserve head in the US, Alan Greenspan, he says the best way to predict a major recession is to keep an eye on the sales of men's undies.
Really?
Men's undies is where it's at. That's what you need to follow. He said, if you look at men's underwear sales, in general, they're usually quite stable because men don't over purchase. They kind of like, they don't care if they're any seen in the locker room and they've got a few holes in them or whatever. So you don't go crazy, but you do buy them when necessary.
Yes.
So there's a stable level there of purchase.
Well, Matty, how many do you have, you reckon? How many undies?
Well, you know I'm not wearing any right now, right?
I didn't
wears
know, I know
them
that
for
now.
Costume changes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got about a week's worth.
Is that all?
Yeah.
I have a few pairs that I rotate.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah. I would have like over 60 pairs in one drawer.
Really?
Wow. Of men's undies.
Yeah. And astounding, isn't it? Yeah. Well, they're saying that it's, you know, when you look at the undie sales, so the sales for men's undies fell significantly from 2007 to 2009 when they had the Great Recession.
Oh, yes. The GFC.
Yep. And it gained steam again in 2010 as the economy came good. And it has happened every recession since the 70s.
Really?
So whenever there's been a problem, he follows the men's underwear sales. And on top of that, you'll like this, Pete, because you're interested in budgety stuff.
Mm.
There's other indexes they use. So there's the skyscraper index. So apparently you look back over the history of time, there's an increase in tall buildings being built just before a collapse.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're completed just before it all goes pear-shaped. Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you say that because, I mean, we're heading to what feels like a collapse, like, you know, inflation that they're talking about now, everything skyrocketing, prices, so on and so forth. And we're starting to see the huge global and multinational building companies start to go into receivership.
Yeah.
Well, is this the point we're supposed to say it may or may not be a collapse? Pete Pirelli's opinions do not reflect those of Miss 94.5.
It's an opinion.
It's not a perfect science because they also use the lipstick index.
Okay.
And they say that women use lipstick as pick-me-ups. And so it's kind of like if we splurge on a new lipstick, it's kind of like sometimes that's when the things are going bad because we think it's going to make us feel better.
Right.
But also when things are going really well economically, we also buy lipstick.
Right.
So we buy
lipstick and
men's
underwear.
Lipstick and undies. And it's also being traded out now for skincare items like face masks because people doing at-home treatments.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Rather than going out shows there's a bit of a money collapse.
None of it
and,
works.
And online dating because people have got more time up their sleeve if they're sitting around not working.
Well, the undies thing I get because undies are like the undies I buy are like $30 to $35 a pair.
Really? Right.
Yeah. Like they're the nice Y-front comfortable like Bonds undies, like, you know. So, and when I do come up for a fresh pair of undies, when we're doing okay, that's where I'm like, yeah, no worries. So, like,
get
if
a
it's
couple of pairs.
At the beginning of the pay cycle, for example, if my wife, because my wife does a lot of that Bonds shopping,
yes,
she'll say to me, "Hey, do you need some new undies?" Now, if it's at the beginning of the pay cycle and we're looking flush, I'm like, yeah, no problem. Go for it. Buy some undies. But no, if it's towards the end, the last sort of couple of weeks, and we're on 2-minute noodles, And I'm like, no, no, no.
Well,
I don't need undies.
Quick round the grounds then, so I know where we're heading for the future. When was the last time you guys bought undies?
Oh, don't look at me, because that's not fair. I'm not an accurate representation of the fiscal situation of the world. So I haven't bought undies in a long time. I just wrap a tea towel around and use a safety pin.
A couple of months ago.
But I am going to take the Honey Badgers ads more seriously.
She's the accounting ace who is nerdy about numbers and fanatical about finance. Please welcome from Carbon Group, Michelle Money Maynard.
Yay! Merry Christmas, Mish.
Merry Christmas to you all. What a great, glorious day.
You money dorks. I love it.
That's funny. Michelle, I've got to tell you, because we came in here this morning and, like, you know, we're going to speak with Michelle on the budget. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I've been poring over the budget the last 24 hours, just finding out all the little tidbits and bits and pieces. And some people don't get it. I'm fascinated.
Michelle, I mean, break it down for us. Pete tells me, because I'm from the camp of I don't care, because once the government make decisions, I can't do anything about it. But Pete says, no, if you learn your way around the budget, you can use it to your advantage.
Well, interesting thing about this budget, right, is it's an election year. So while the budget means something, we get a twofer this week. We actually have to wait for Thursday for the budget reply, because that's when the opposition puts out their plan. So then we get to decide which one we want when we go to the polls in probably a few weeks' time. Mm-hmm. So the good thing about the budget is you get to look at what the government's priorities are. And at the moment, I'm not being cynical, but their priorities are winning the next election. So there's a little bit in it for all of us.
Which is a benefit, right? So there are some good things in here, but I think it's important to note, because I was speaking to a mate of mine yesterday, I was like, oh, we're getting $1,500 from the government. And when you actually break it down and take a look, it's not cash in your pocket, it's rebates, right?
Correct. So what they're talking about there is we've had the low to middle income tax offset, which has been extended longer than it was planned to, but it's the $1,080 that you get back if you earn between $37,000 and $126,000 when you do your tax return. So basically, they've bumped that up by an extra $420 this year. They're calling it a cost of living offset, but it is for people that work, that earn money, and that pay tax. So the only way you get that money back in your pocket is to lodge your tax return.
Hey, the public hospitals, I mean, people are just losing their minds after the 2 years we've had. People have been calling for a 50% increase in public hospital fundings. There's no increase.
There's nothing. And these are things where you sort of see what the government's priorities are. So they're dropping $38 billion on defence. And the way the world is at the moment, you can sort of understand that. They're dropping $9.9 billion on cybersecurity. But yes, not a dollar extra for our public hospitals, which just absolutely blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. They're also dropping 35% over 4 years of their clean energy stuff, so they don't care about climate either. We're all about bombing things.
Bombing things, but not getting the new knee.
Yeah, but don't worry about your new knee and don't worry about trees.
Yeah, but look, there is some good projects for regional. They are really focused on regional areas. I mean, I'm not saying election year, but they are, you know, putting some money into our regional areas. So up north, they're looking at big solar projects and things, which is fantastic. But you think of the really key things, hospital, education, you know, those key things, it's missing in here.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about breaking down this budget, right? To me, from what I read through and sort of picked out of it, is that for the average person that I feel really needs the absolute leg up at the moment, there's no solutions here.
They're all very temporary measures, and that's been a criticism of this budget. It's about, here, have some cash in your pocket if you are a pensioner or welfare. We're going to give you $250 in April, which, look, I love that those people get some money, but $250 is not going to go very far. The fuel excise, which we're all very excited about, that should flow through to the Bowsers in the next 3 to 7 days, they're saying, and that will go for 6 months. But, yes, it's all very temporary things. There's nothing in here that's substantive tax reform that's, you know, that's really anything long term in terms of policy. So it's very quick fixes.
Would you say temporary enough to get us to like May 14 for the election, for example?
How cynical of you, Kimber, but yes, surprisingly so.
Okay, I've got one thing left to say. Keep the word election out of your mouth.
Thank you, Michelle. We appreciate your time this morning. Just before you go, what are you expecting from Labor?
Labor will definitely talk about wage increases. They've already criticised this and cost of living. They're also looking at childcare policies to help more people back into the workforce, which with a unemployment rate of 3.75%, there's not many left that aren't in the workforce. But yeah, they'll definitely hammer home wages and cost of living. So that'll be another fun night on Thursday.
Oh, woo! Can't wait. Bring it on, mate. Two Christmases in a week. Oh, how can we get so lucky?
How much turkey can you handle?
Thanks, Mish.
Thanks, guys.
Guys, as a young teen, I put my mum through her paces a bit.
Yeah.
Right? And not because I think I was making life a little tough for her, not intentionally, just a little bit teenagey.
Sure.
You know, sometimes those things happen. And one of the things that basically brought out the worst in me was bra shopping. And it's just the most tedious task. It has just forever been the one thing I never want to do.
I have questions.
Yes, Pete.
Right. So of what I understand of bras and what they do, I always thought that bra shopping is like just regular shopping. Like when you just go for like shopping for clothes.
Oh.
You put them on and then do they fit? No, they don't fit. Okay, give me the next one. Do they fit? Don't fit.
Sounds like it's more like servicing your car.
It is far more tedious than that.
In what way?
It is a tedious gig. I mean, like, because what it is it's a task to choose between what you want v what you need. And also then it's got to be available in your size, not itchy, not pokey, not triangular shaped. It's still got to be supportive and you can only take 5 into a change room at a time. Right?
Why would you need any more than 5?
Oh, Pete.
Into a change room.
Oh, really? Pete.
Is it that complex?
Far out.
It is so complex. That's wild. Have no idea. Like, because even if you think you're that size, you buy that size, and they're all different sizes in different brands. So you buy it in one brand, you go, oh, I'm a 12 double D in that. Perfect. Take it into the change room, but not in her sizing, you're not. Like,
now, you refer to them as your tartars.
Yes.
What are you looking for your tartars? Is it? Do you have different bras for different occasions?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Because, you know, you need a T-shirt bra. You need something plain when you're wearing a tight-fitted shirt or a shirt. Because if you show the lace or the gaps or the sequins or the sewing or, like, it shows up.
Mm.
You need some that are more supportive. You need some that are low if you're wearing a low-cut top. Some that stretch different places on the back. Some that cross over. It is a nightmare of a thing to
do. Sounds shocking.
I can't. The idea of just thinking that it's like trying on a pair of pants is, like, not even close. And so I find it so painful that with my mum when I was younger, I would just be like, I'm done. And I would just walk out. Mum would go, we haven't got what you need, or one's not enough. And I go, yes, it is, because I don't want to deal with it. And so I have lost weight over like the last sort of 6 months and my tartars have shape-shifted. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to just shout myself some new bras and I'm going to get something nice that works for me.
Lovely.
So I went into a proper store and I got a fitting. And there's something very liberating about that because, you know, you're being fitted by a professional. It is a professional stranger. But you just sort of set them free and you show them, you reveal yourself and you say, this is what we're working with. How are you going to make it better?
Okay.
Wow. That is great.
And
do they have instruments?
A tape measure.
Okay.
A tape measure and experience. Because some women are so good at it, they can just look at you as soon as you walk in the store and go, oh, no, that's not you. You're this size.
Okay.
Do they? And I do not mean this in any way, in a head in the gutter way. I don't. Mm-hmm. Do they like move them around and grab them and shift
not
them?
Not in a fondly way, but in a like, you know, they do have to adjust them in to get them to sit in the right spot.
Okay.
And they adjust the straps on you. So when you try them on, they make sure that everything's fitted correctly. You know.
And is it always a woman?
It has been in my case.
Right.
I don't know.
I did it for a little while.
No, I'm genuinely curious because obviously, you know, women.
I've never, and I would imagine probably in most cases because I think that some people might find it confronting to have a man in the
chamber. I'd love to know if there's a bloke who's ever done it.
But look, this woman, she made my day.
Really?
Because dead set, she just went, okay, I see what we're working with. Is it okay if I bring you my favourites? I didn't even tell her what I was interested in yet. I didn't say whether I needed a T-shirt bra, black bra, whatever. I just said, you know, and she went off. She brought back about 15 to 20 bras for me to try on. She had an 85 to 90% strike rate of it was perfect. I couldn't believe it. That's never happened in my life. And all of this took about 25 minutes. And the bras she bought me were 50% off. I mean, what a day.
Incredible.
So really, there's nothing more to this other than if you're getting around in an old bra or it's been a while since you shouted yourself a bra, go and get a proper fitting and get yourself the bra of your dreams. And live your life, shape-shift your tartars, enjoy yourselves.
And an apology to your mum for all those tough years.
Oh, I've apologised to my mum so many times.
You're kidding me! Hey, we're back. Now, we didn't catch this yesterday. Oh, look at you guys go. You're ready to go today.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So excited. This is how this game works. We've got three different montages of audio. They're made up of songs or movies or moments in time, all sorts of things. I'm going to play them for you one by one. You have to tell me what year that you think they are from.
Right.
Closest to the pin, best of three wins.
Okay.
Go.
We're going to the coast. We'll get together, have a few laughs. Because I got to have
faith. Andy Gibb, just 30 years old at the time of his death.
That's a Bruce Willis clip, isn't it? That first
yes,
one.
Yes, Maddie, it is.
Do you know what Bruce Willis grab it is?
It's from one of the diehards, I would imagine.
Well done.
The original.
One of the greatest Christmas movies ever.
Oh, from the original.
This is a tough one.
It is a tough one.
Because Faith, I think George Michael's Faith has always had an exceptionally contemporary feel.
Mm.
It's the kind of song that still could have been released last year.
Who do you think you are, Miff Warhurst? God, just come up with an answer.
Very hard to pick where it came out.
It's timeless. It is timeless.
I'm going to say 1991.
Okay.
Yeah, not a bad guess. Who's Andy Gibb?
He was one of the Bee Gees, but he wasn't one of the Bee Gees. He was the younger brother who had his own short-lived career.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's no Barry.
No, or Morris, or... Mm. What was the other one?
I don't know. Robert?
Robin. Yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm gonna come in at 90.
Okay.
90, what did you say again?
91.
91.
And I'm not changing it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm going to go for 90.
All right. It was 1988.
Oh.
1988.
Okay.
Yeah, I had no faith.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Do you
believe in life after love? It was a day of flag waving and celebrations across Europe as 11 countries heralded the birth of the Euro.
The first rule of Fight Club is... you do not talk about Fight Club.
God.
Yeah, this is a good one, isn't it? This is a good one. This is a good... I like this one.
The Euro.
K-Rod, can I just say, you are two from two today with the montages you put together. K-Rod's our new producer.
I'm going to throw out the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
Okay.
I'm going to go 2000 because I vaguely remember when producer Joggers was here and she was all of 22 years of age.
Yeah.
And I remember sort of going, you need to watch Fight Club. And her going, I don't know anything about Fight Club. And me thinking that that was sacrilege. Yeah. And then realising, oh, no. That's because the movie was about the same age as her. And that maybe I'd been holding on to Fight Club for a bit too long.
Or her saying that I don't know anything about Fight Club was her saying she has watched it. And you know,
and she's part of a Fight Club.
Right.
We
possibly
need to call her.
Yeah.
I won't linger too long here. I mean, I'm probably going to say 99, but I've got a feeling that 2000 might be right because you'd think with changing over the currency of a continent, you'd use a moment like the start of the millennium.
Isn't it funny, though, that we're going around the area of 99, 2000, yeah. And yet the audio of the Euro sounded like it came from the 60s.
Didn't it?
Yeah, it really did.
So I'll go 99.
99. Yeah. You went 99. Kimber, you went the year 2000. It was 99.
Oh, nice one.
Hey, nice one indeed. All right, here is the final grab.
Harry Potter is dead!
Last time I took drugs, I probably took more than anybody could survive.
No, this is right in your wheelhouse. I feel like it is anyway.
Well, it's great you say that because I've never seen a Harry Potter, never read a book, don't know anything about Harry.
Mm.
The song in the middle just makes me think of Pete at a bar or a club.
Yeah, you're about spot on there. LMFAO.
And Charlie Sheen, I mean, he was in trouble for so long. There were so many... Here comes Charlie Sheen with another expose over the last decade or more. I don't know where it sits.
I'm going to say 2008.
Okay.
I don't know why. Well, I do, but I'm not, we haven't got time for my working out.
Yeah, look, I don't know either. I'm going to go 2009.
Oh, wow.
We're close today, aren't
playing
we?
Playing the game, ain't you? Yeah. Oh, it's, I think
she's learnt from the master.
You know what? Less playing the game. I went with that because I remember talking about Charlie Sheen in an entertainment segment in 2009 when I worked at Star FM.
Always bring it back.
And I got
herself
in trouble. I thought that was meant to, we were meant to show our working out. I thought that was the point of the game. Was it not? I'll shut up.
No, I was just being silly.
I got in trouble for saying condom on air.
Oh, you've just done it again.
Because I'm not concerned anymore. I feel like if you haven't taught your kids what it is, then we're behind the eight ball.
Jeez.
Wow. throw out the rest of the show. We've got to unpack this.
All right, this little different hole. It's meant to be a lighthearted segment.
Okay, get that fun.
What's not lighthearted about that? Come on.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. So this is a question of, did you land on the right side of Matt?
Yeah.
Which is a question that we've asked many times.
And the answer to that is you would be correct in that you landed on the right side. It was 2011.
Oh,
there you go.
So well done to you.
Well done.
Nice. Yeah, that was a close game.
Answer the complaints about the condom.
That was your Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for St. John, WA. Safe 000 for emergencies. Mix 94.5.